So today we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd Canto, Chapter 4, Texts 14 and 15. Text 14 doesn't have a Srila Prabhupada purport, so I'll just read that, but I will come back to it in the talk. So I'll just read that. The context of this is that he's seen Krishna. Krishna has just spoken to him and told him he's about to go back home, back to Godhead. So he's in a pretty intense mood. Translation. Uddhava said, "O Vidura, when I was thus favored at every moment by the Supreme Personality of Godhead and addressed by him with great affection, my words failed in tears, and the hairs on my body erupted. After smearing my eyes, I, with folded hands, spoke like this." This is the verse we'll be chanting. Translation. O my Lord, devotees who engage in the transcendental loving service of your lotus feet have no difficulty in achieving anything within the realm of the four principles of religiosity, economic development, sense gratification, and liberation. But, O Great One, as far as I am concerned, I have preferred only to engage in the loving service of your lotus feet. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Those who are associated with the Lord in the Vaikuntha planets achieve all the bodily features of the Lord and appear to be the same as Lord Vishnu. Such liberation is called Sarupya Mukti, which is one of the five kinds of liberation. The devotees engaged in the transcendental loving service of the Lord never accept the Sayuja Mukti, or merging in the rays of the Lord called the Brahmajyoti. The devotees can achieve not only liberation, but any success in the realm of religiosity, economic development, or sense gratification, up to the standard of the demigods in the heavenly planets. But such a pure devotee as Uddhava refuses to accept all such facilities. A pure devotee wants simply to engage in the service of the Lord and does not consider his own personal benefit. Om Gyana Tumarandasya Jananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Amlitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So, Srila Prabhupada is sitting there writing these purports, and ahead of him is, 15,000 verses ahead. He has to write a commentary, a purport, for the next 15,000 verses or so, 16,000 verses in the Bhagavatam. And he's taken on the task of giving this commentaries, taking from the previous acharyas. He's got these commentaries in front of him. He's condensing them, he's consolidating them, he's perceiving them, and he's writing a purport. And that's a lot to take in. Imagine that. He has to understand the verse. He has to understand the context of the verse. He has to see what the acharyas say. And he's a pure devotee, so he's going to get so many inspirations about what to say. And we get a glimpse of that when we hear him give a talk or a class on a particular verse. And he talks for half an hour, 40 minutes. But here he just gives a short paragraph. He gives a very succinct thing. He touches a particular topic sometimes. Sometimes he takes more. But he has a mission to accomplish. He's got to keep going. So you get a short purport, and he touches a particular topic there. So it's quite an amazing thing that he has done to kind of give us, to unlock the Bhagavatam and give it to us in such a scholarly way. To give us the word for word, to give us the English translation, and then to give us bring all these commentaries and succinctly condense them into the essential information. So I say that because it's something that has occupied my mind of recent. But in the previous verse, there's no purport. But I mentioned before, because he would give talks on verses that didn't have a purport. It's not that it is forbidden to give a commentary about a verse with no purport. There's 18,000 verses, and each one is very wonderful. And I thought the previous verse is also very important, so I wanted to just look at that a little bit. Because it's Uddhava is saying, he's talking to Vidura, he's giving him a commentary, he's letting him know what's going on in his mind. And here, as unfortunately for us, in many places, we get an insight into the ecstasies, the internal happiness of these great devotees. They publicly declare, well, I felt something very ecstatic inside. And what in his case is, I mean, he's just heard Krishna telling him, well, you're coming home back to Godhead. That's quite a jubilant thing to hear. And he's recognizing that he's seeing that pratikshana, at every moment, the Lord Anugraha Bhajana, that he is the object of favor. I'm the object of favor of the Supreme Personality of Godhead at every moment. He is perceiving that very special attention that Krishna gives him. And that overwhelms him. That realization, that perception, that feeling in his heart completely overwhelms him, and out of his affection, out of his love, out of his besottedness of Krishna, his body erupts. The hairs on his body, they erupt, erupting on his body, and his eyes, they become slackened, and his eyes just fill full of tears. He cannot hold back the emotion that he is experiencing. Now, sometimes we see that in our fellow devotees. We see them without ability to restrain emotion. Sometimes they exhibit such similar ecstatic symptoms. I came across two recently. I was in a group of devotees, and one of them was talking about some service he wanted to do, and he could not help but cry. And he was, Hare Krishna, I'm kind of getting influenced by his emotion. So he was very emotional. He couldn't hold back the tears, and we just stopped and listened, and eventually he regained his control, and he was able to continue speaking. I was watching a presentation recently by a senior sannyasi in Mayapur. He was giving a class about Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati's appearance day, like we all have experienced. And the class was full of sobriety, full of depth, full of intensity, explaining the strictness of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati and pointing out he was like, wow, he's like a really scary Maharaj. And then right at the end of his class, he was talking about the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, and he could not restrain himself. He started crying. The class was finished, but he just could not restrain it, and the tears came out. Many years ago, I was talking to a group of devotees in Radhalundeshvara. We were talking about the idea of getting a farm for Radhalundeshvara. And in that conversation, one of the devotees said, he felt the hairs on his arms just rising. He felt some ecstatic symptoms. So as devotees, this is something that we may become accustomed to in our devotional life, that you're in the middle of a kirtan and you feel the hairs on your body standing up. You feel a little symptom here of what Uddhava was experiencing in relationship with Krishna. And these are actually extraordinary things. These are extraordinary things in the life of a devotee. These physical manifestations of something spiritual stirring within. And the devotee and people outside don't ordinarily experience these things. Certainly they do, especially when they have a spiritual gathering of any sort, when they sing with devotion or they pray with devotion, they experience something, they experience these things. And that gives them the commitment that what their path they're on is correct. So here, Uddhava's experienced this, and unfortunately, he's letting us know this is how he's experiencing it. Now, generally, devotees don't talk about these things. In fact, we experience, if ever we try to venture into that realm of talking about our own personal experiences, we feel it drying up. It's something, it's a very private thing. So you have to keep it private. If you want to relish it, you've got to keep it private. So you start to boast about it, you find that happiness inside becoming withdrawn. It's like a gift that Krishna gives you. Now, we often find in testimony when people first start their path of devotional service, they get like a super duper free sample. They can enter this ocean of blissful happiness and enthusiastic exuberance in Krishna consciousness. And we may wonder, well, why doesn't it continue? Anyway, the next verse gives us some hints about that. But here, Uddhava is pointing, is feeling something. And what he's noted is that Krishna's care for him, it's not casual. It's all the time. He's noticing that Krishna cares for him all the time. And that's what overwhelms him. So our business, you could say, is also to acknowledge, to feel, to be aware of Krishna's intensity and conviction and kindness to us, that we are also the object of his favor at all times. He's always thinking of the best interests of every living entity. And the devotees are blessed that they get a little insight. They get a little insight into that intensity of the Lord's affection for them. Bhaktaram yagatapasam sava lokam aheshwaram sturidam sava bhutanam gyadvamam shantim rijati. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita that I am the well-wisher, the suhridam. I am the heartfelt friend of all living entities. So the devotees, we're being taught how to see Krishna's interaction in our life at all times. So this is the setting that Uddhava is. So now he responds. And it's also a reflection for us. If we have seen Krishna, and we do see him all the time, we chant his holy name this morning, we see him in the deity form, we're seeing him in reality all the time. But imagine we actually felt we saw him in reality at that time. What would we say to him? If Krishna came in front of us and there he is in all his beautiful glory and we can see him as he is, what would we say to him? What would our words be to him? So this is Uddhava's words. Can Naisha, oh my Lord. And this is kind of a whole series here of doubting. How is it you're like this, but this is you're like this? There's a whole bunch of verses like that. So he wants to understand Krishna. So it's a kind of a word of a doubt. And he says, Pada Saroja Bhajam. Pada means feet. Saroja means born in water. That's where the word lotus feet comes from. And Bhajam means participating, sharing, liable to, having, enjoying, and possessing. So, who's participating in the lotus feet of the Lord? Who's sharing the lotus feet of the Lord? Who's enjoying those feet? Who's possessing those feet? Well, the devotees are possessing those feet. And therefore, the word for word is of the devotees engaged in the transcendental loving service of the lotus feet. This is who it's talking about, those people. So Dulaba Arteshu Chatushva Apiha. The chatushu, these four objectives, they're so dulaba, very, very difficult to obtain. It's interesting because in the translation, Prabhupada says that for the devotees, that they're not difficult to obtain. The word for word says, sudulaba arteshu chatushu. They're very difficult to obtain. So how do we understand that? Well, I was thinking, there's that verse, janma karma chime divyam. Birth, janma activities, janma karma chime evam yovari tatvadaha. That people, this is how people's life, birth and death, birth and death, birth and death. But not for the devotees. They don't follow that same cycle of birth and death. So here, these four things are very difficult to obtain. And this is the reason why we don't experience the ecstasies all the time, or predominantly. Because we're infatuated by trying to obtain these things that are very difficult. For example, the word chatushya Prabhupada understands it being the four objectives, dharma, artha, karma, and moksha. It's like if someone said to you, well, what are the four things? As Hare Krishna devotees, who we've heard many, many times, Srila Prabhupada say, we probably think, oh, the four exit principles, no illicit sex, no meat eating, no intoxication, no gambling. But in this context, the four means these four things, dharma, artha, karma, moksha. And dharma means the fundamental things, religion, what's the word here? Law, customary observances of a caste, sect, usage, practice, custom, ordinance. What is real? What is fundamental? What is true? So people they want to know, well, what is my place in the world? What is my dharma? Sometimes us in our spiritual life, Varnashram Dharma, where do I find my place? What is my dharma? What do I like to do? What am I good at? Sometimes it's not so clear sometimes. We're confused. What actually is my dharma? So people want to know, well, what is my place in the world? And religion. How can I practice my religion? People often find it difficult to actually be really religious. Is it really right what I'm doing? Should I be doing something else? It's not always easy to be religious. It's not always easy to find who you are. Surdulaba. Sur means very durla, hard, difficult, love. It's very hard to obtain who you are, to find your dharma. Artha. Well, artha means, what do you want? What do I want? Prabhupada often translates it as economic development. And it means, yeah, what do we want? What do we really want? Economic development, these kind of things. What do I really want in life? What am I looking for? And when you want to have something, it's not easy to obtain what it is that you think that you want. It's very hard in life to try to achieve the things that you want. And karma, we want to enjoy ourselves while we're doing these things. We want to enjoy our senses. It's fraught with so much troubles. There's something we'd like to enjoy our senses with, and there may or may not be the opportunity, there may not be the reciprocation. It's another cause of so much difficulty. Just to enjoy the senses is not easy. It's hard. Moksha, I've had enough of this. I've tried religion, I've tried economic development, I've tried to enjoy my senses. I can't achieve anything. Let me give it up. Let me detach myself from this world of samsara, cycle of birth and death. And that's also difficult. It's not easy to break free from the shackles of our attachment to the material world. We have an aspiration, yes, I'm going to detach myself and just be aloof from all the material things. And we find that the shackles that we're attached to are just pulling us back all the time. So these things are very, very difficult to get free from. Very hard. But the devotees, this is what the verse Prabhupada says, they can get free from those things. O my Lord, devotees who engage in the transcendental service of your lotus feet have no difficulty in achieving anything within the realm of the four principles of religiosity, economic development, sense, gratification, and liberation. And this is something that devotees find. They find that many times we hear in a conversation, devotees say, oh, that was Krishna's arrangement. Krishna arranged this for me. Krishna arranged that for me. Krishna was in my, I experienced Krishna's intervention in my life. This is what Uddhava was experiencing. Krishna directly intervening in his life. And the devotees also experience this. In practice, we as practitioner devotees, we experience that to our degree. The more we become Krishna conscious, the more we're going to see Krishna's hand in everything. Now, sometimes it may be that we will achieve it in the time frame that we're hoping for. And sometimes it may not be achieved in that time frame. It may be something we may achieve in another lifetime. For example, in this lifetime, we're achieving things that we didn't necessarily know we're going to achieve, but we had a desire for Krishna in a previous life, and now he's fulfilling it in this life, so he fulfills it. And sometimes in the Bhagavatam, we read stories where a devotee, Dhruva Maharaj, comes to mind. He wanted a kingdom greater than his father, grandfather, and he was given a transcendental planet to preside over. So Krishna can reward the devotees in a greater extent than even they wanted. So these aspirations to know who we are, what we should do, what we shouldn't do, how we can find my satisfaction in the material world, how can I find my nice economic scenario, how can I enjoy my senses, how can I stay aloof from these things, these is what's occupying our attention. And therefore, we're not giving Krishna the full attention. And therefore, we don't notice his full attention on us. So some of us may not be experiencing this full reciprocation with Krishna because we're not looking closely enough at Krishna. There's that verse, Manmana Bhava Mad Bhakto Madhya Ji Mam Namaskaru. They just think of me, become my devotee, offer your obeisances to me, worship me. He says, become, just be my devotee. Just to be a devotee. Uddhava is just being a devotee. He actually is a devotee. We're practicing. We're participating in the things that the devotees do. And we're trying to connect our mind with those activities in a devotional atmosphere and hoping that we're going to do that activity in devotion. So Krishna is setting the bar here. Just think of me. Just be a devotee. So because we're interested in these other things, therefore, we don't see the full reciprocation. The full reciprocation is there, but we're not perceiving it. Now, we know those verses, Akama, Savakama, Va, Moksha, Kama, Udaradi, Tivrena, Bhakti Yogena, Yajeta, Purushamparam. Just some or other, whether you have no desires, all desires, whatever you want, just some or other, give your attention with determination to me. So even if you have these things, okay, look to them for Krishna. But while you're looking to them for Krishna, you're not going to get the full, you're not going to experience the full reciprocation. So here, Uddhava is saying, he says, but for me, Tathapi, but I don't prefer these four things. Dharma, Artha, Karma, Moksha, I don't prefer them. I just want your lotus feet. Nishevana Utsukaha. I just want to be completely, Utsuka means anxiously, desirous. It means I just want to serve your lotus feet. You're anxiously desiring to serve the lotus feet of the Lord. So that's his criteria. I'm not interested in all these things, actually. I just want to be with you and serve you. So in the purport, Srila Prabhupada, he talks about, again, this word moksha. He's going into it in a little more depth. And he says, those who are associated with the Lord in the Vaikuntha planets achieve all the bodily features of the Lord to appear to be the same as Lord Vishnu. So I'm going to get the verse. This is from the third canto. We've already been... No, we're going to come there. Actually, we're going to come to that particular verse later on. This is from the text, third canto, chapter 29, text number 13. Salokya sarsti samipya sarupyait katvam apyuta diamanam nagrinanti vima tat mat sevanam jana. A pure devotee does not accept any kind of liberation, salokya, sarsti, samipya, sarupya, or ekatva, even though they are offered by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is pointing out that, for example, like Uddhava's scenario, he's not interested in even going to the planet. He's simply, his whole meditation is to serve the Lord. That's his whole interest. He doesn't really want to have all these, you could say, transcendental possibilities. He's simply thinking about, I want to serve Krishna somehow or other. Another place he's mentioned is in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. So I'm going to go there. This is in the Majjhalila, chapter 6, text number 266. Yadyapi se mukti haya pancha parakara salokya samipya sarupya sarshti sayujya ar. There are five kinds of liberation: salokya, samipya, sarupya, sarshti, and sayujya. In the purport, Srila Prabhupada says, salokya means that after material liberation, one is promoted to the planet, loka, planet, where the Supreme Personality of Godhead resides. Samipya means remaining an associate of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Sarupya means attaining a four-handed form exactly like that of the Lord. Sarshti means attaining opulences like those of the Supreme Lord. And Suyujya means merging into the Brahman effulgence of the Lord. These are the five types of liberation. And then Lord Chaitanya goes on. Lord Bhattacharya says, okay, if there is a chance to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead, a pure devotee sometimes accepts the salokya, sarupya, samipya, or sarshti forms of liberation, but never sayujya. In other words, a devotee, if he can serve the Lord, he might want to go to the planet of the Lord, or serve the Lord on those planets, or have the form of the Lord, or be on the... But he doesn't want to merge into the body of the Lord. That is something the devotee does not want to do. Next verse is 268. A pure devotee does not like even to hear about Sayujya Mukti, which inspires him with fear and hatred. Indeed, the pure devotee would rather go to hell than merge into the effulgence of the Lord. So this is the verses that Prabhupada is expanding on here. And this is the Chaitanya Charitamrita, you could say, gives us our way of understanding the Bhagavatam and how to utilize it in a practical way, how to live the life of a devotee. So, although a devotee can achieve anything, we can achieve success materially, we can achieve success dharmically, we can achieve success in sense gratification, we can achieve success with liberation. A devotee like Uddhava, he refuses to accept all those facilities. And the Prabhupada's concluding sentence is, a pure devotee wants simply to engage in the service of the Lord and does not consider his own personal benefit. So the more that we can consider the service of the Lord and not consider our own personal benefit, then more we'll be in a position to appreciate the favorableness of the Lord to ourselves. So I'll stop there. If anybody has any questions, comments, contributions. Hare Krishna. 1 second.
Hare Krishna. In this era, even just a smile is a preaching, no? For example, when we go in Sankirtan, Sometimes people need only a smile and take the book, no? We can do a lot of we can do a lot in our work outside the temple to bring Krishna to people. However, it is often difficult to stay in those energy outside. It is difficult. We will have to develop skills, said Bhakti Vasudeva Swami yesterday. What type of skills? Is my question. What type of skills we need to develop to stay, to do
what type of skills? Well, the best type of skills is that you're skillful, that we are skillful in devotional service. If we haven't got it, we can't give it. Saying that, sometimes when devotees have been very morose on Sankirtan, they've suddenly, even in their moroseness, they've touched someone. The person, the recipient, have had an experience by that devotee who was feeling a bit morose. But the point is that when you're engaged in those devotional service, you're carrying a package, like Prabhupada gives the postman. The postman doesn't own the letter, he just shoves it in your letterbox. So when you're acting on behalf of Srila Prabhupada and spreading Krishna consciousness, there's a certain potency that you're carrying with you. So therefore, you can give something when you've got something, when you're doing something. So the great skill about giving is to actually, be doing it yourself. It carries more potency. If you're doing something not very exemplary, then it's not so influential to other people. But if you're doing it, you're living it, then it's something. And actually, we hear many times that people, when they meet devotees, they think, who are these people? They're always smiling. And think about it. We take it for granted because we're meeting with devotees all the time. But generally, devotees are very happy, kind, friendly people. And people out of the world are not accustomed to that. They're not accustomed to kind, nice people who aren't trying to take something from them. So the best skill to help other people is to practice and be a devotee to whatever degree we can be. That's the best skill.
Thank you so much.
Question here, will you? Or comment?
Yeah, in this verse in purport, Dharma, Artha, Kama, and Moksha are easily available to the devotee. I think many devotees are wondering where they are as they're practicing devotional service. Many of them are struggling with all of these things. What to speak of then rejecting it, having love of God later on. So maybe if you can say something about that. Struggle for devotees to get a job or get enough money or place to stay and so on.
Well, unfortunately, what can we do? Sudulabha. Very hard to obtain. You're not gonna not have difficulty obtaining these things. And that's a material world. Dukaliyam ashashvatam. Nothing you can do to avoid it. No way. So you have to struggle, especially if you're a householder, you're gonna struggle like anything. Today's great, tomorrow's bad. You want something, they want something. It's always a struggle. You have to live with it. And therefore the only solace is devotional service. You've got to do your duty, continue to struggle in life. With sadhana, it's a struggle. Everything is a struggle. The whole material world is a struggle. But it's a glorious struggle. To try and do devotional service, it's a glorious struggle. Because at least you get those, you could say, indications along the way, like these ecstasies that Uddhava is experiencing. You get little indication. You get transcendental emotion that kind of, this is something really worth achieving for. So unfortunately, yes, struggling everywhere. When you become the platform of a pure devotee, then everything is no longer a struggle. But this is a bit of a journey to go. So struggle, but keep going. I remember my formative years, one devotee said to me, whatever you go through, just keep going. And that's very good advice. Whatever you feel up, whatever you feel down, just somehow or other, just keep going. Just keep the association of devotees, or somewhere or other chant something, somehow, someplace. And just keep building. Wherever far you fall, build up from there and just keep going. Yeah. Thoughtful point, Prabhu. Thank you. Anything else? One minute. We can all hear you, but there's an audience who may want to hear also outside.
Just in connection with the same question, there's a lot more to like maintaining how to maintain and achieve aspirations and, for the future comforts and all that. And also still keeping your Krishna consciousness in spite of our not to over endeavor, especially when you're trying to, at the same time, have the goal in mind, basically.
Well, my mind's remembering this example that Dina Bandhu gave. Dina Bandhu, is that his name? Dina? He gave class on Sunday some weeks ago. I was given an example that Bhakti Trumaj gave him, that I think he was talking about in how much endeavor do you put in. And Bhakti Trumaj gave an example about gripping your hand. Maybe you remember this example. And Bhakti Trumaj told him, grip your hand tighter. How long can you hold it for like that? You can't keep it up. But then if you go like this, you can do it all the time. So if you're struggling too much, you won't be able to maintain it. But you've got to somehow do something that's natural. Keep going. If you over-endeavor, you won't be able to sustain it. You've got to act, I think about Dharma, you've got to act according to your nature to some degree. Okay, you join the temple, you do the essential, you wash, maybe you're a PhD in something, you get a broom, maybe you wash dishes. There's some things you do which you kind of, everyone does them. But to have your fulfillment, you've got to be engaged according to your nature. So somehow you have to kind of gravitate towards these things. You need a certain amount of sense gratification. You need a certain amount of economic development. You need a certain amount of, you could say, renounced space. But if you do it too excessively, you won't be able to sustain it. So therefore, you have to be a bit self-realized. Who am I? What can I do? Okay, you've got to stretch yourself a little bit. You can't be just laissez-faire, completely laid back. You've got to push yourself a little bit. You push yourself too far, you can't do it. You've got to build up your strength.
Thank you.
Srinivas Prabhu. Oh, okay, please. You got the microphone.
Hare Krishna. Transcendental and loving devotional service. In the transcendental and loving devotional service, how to develop our skills? Because just yesterday we were talking to Maharaj Bhakti Vasudeva Swami that everybody has to be able to live independently, but not of Krishna, independent of Krishna, but from another human being. For example, I'm a woman, and maybe one day I will take protection in a husband, but that doesn't mean that I don't have to develop skills, because we are in Kali Yuga and you don't know what can happen. The relationship may not go well, or just yesterday when we were talking about this with Maharaj, came a woman that told us that his husband left her body and now she is grow up his children. We have to develop skill, no? Because you don't know what can happen. You have to be ready to live alone also.
Interesting, one of the things about Gita is about being satisfied alone, to live alone. So it may well be that you're living in company, but at the same time, your Krishna consciousness is in your hands. How Krishna conscious you are, even in a family or a partnership, is in your hands. And sometimes you have, like for example, Srila Prabhupada said that Krishna conscious householders appear like henpecked. A henpecked man, you could say, or a henpecked woman. They appear like that, but inside they don't budge an inch. Krishna appeared like a henpecked husband. He was basically doing whatever his wife wanted. Satyabhama wanted a parijata flower, so he had to kind of take it from Indra. So he appeared like a henpecked man. Therefore, how happy his wife would be that he does those duties. If you neglect those duties, you won't have happy married life. You won't have happy life. And it makes it destabilizes the foundation of your spiritual life. It's very hard to sit chanting peacefully if your wife or your husband is frantic next door because you haven't done something. So having a sound foundation in life is helpful, but it's not the only criteria. There are many people with happy lives, but they're not feeling the happiness of Krishna consciousness. They may be feeling the happiness of having a nice, happy life, but that's also temporary. At some point, it's definitely going to end, whether it's by some, you know, misunderstanding, or you're going to die. So it's going to end. It's not permanent. So we have to definitely make sure we take care of these things, our dharma, our artha, our karma. We have to make sure we try our best to satisfy these things, to live our life in this world the best we can. But along with that, we got to keep our attention to Krishna as well. That's the fifth element. These all are all material things. They're all related to the body. We have to feed the soul. My wife and I were watching this conversation with Radhanath Maharaj and his old friend, how they kept meeting each other in India mysteriously. And his friend is a bodybuilder. So he's commenting that a bodybuilder is taking care of the body and Radhanath Maharaj is taking care of the soul. So that combination, you've got to take care of your body, you've got to take care of your mind, you've got to take care of your intellect, but you've also got to take care of your soul. So the Bhagavad Gita tells us how to live in this world, but it also tells how to take care of your soul. You'll never find self-satisfaction unless you have that connection with Krishna. Today you have a great time with your wife or your husband. Tomorrow you're fighting. You don't know why. It just happens. The wind blows a certain way and the fighting starts. But with Krishna it's different. You can always turn to Krishna, and he's always the most perfect reciprocal person. He'll always be reciprocating with you perfectly. So yes, take care of your life. Get your partner, get your job, do these things to the best of your ability. And suffer while you're doing it, because that's the unfortunate that's going to come with it. But you try your best. But at the same time, we have to add Krishna consciousness into our life. Otherwise, materially, we're never going to feel fulfilled. Whereas even if things are deteriorating around us, at the same time, we can still feel a sense of fulfillment, even despite the world collapsing around us, so to speak. And that's Queen Kunti's prayer. The world was collapsing around us, but she still felt, Krishna, you were there. So that's a skill. But adding the skill of being a devotee in our life whilst we learn all the skills of how to live in the life. Okay, we will stop there. Can we stop there, Srimad? Okay. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki. Hare Krishna.